You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, folks, the hits keep coming, or should I say the hit makers just keep on coming. After last week's all-star parade of eight incredible leaders, first hour with Nick Griffin tonight, where do you go from there except to, of course, Lana Locked, if that's the answer. I have to apologize. I only have a dated biography here, but I guess she'll humor me as I remind you that Lana was born of Russian-American ancestry. And ever since she can remember, she's been interested in the mysterious and the unexplainable. Because of her interest in metaphysical concepts, Lana majored in physics and minored in philosophy, hoping to find the bridge between the two worlds, only to become disappointed by the accepted curriculum. She left school to pursue an artistic path in music, film, and writing. She is the founding hostess of Radio 314 and a co-founder and regular contributor, of course, to Red Ice TV, and owner-operator of her own clothing line, which my wife loves very much. Lana, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I was kind of chuckling hearing that.
You remember writing?
I got to send you a new one. Yeah. You know, so many changes in life, and there's always that healthy cringe factor you have, you know, when you look back and you're like, oh, I used to think like that and say those things. You know?
how dated is that bio? Yeah, that's right. Bios get updated. That's for sure. You can update a bio.
Yeah, now it's pretty cut and dry. None of the malarkey from the past. But yeah, I got to keep the Russian American in there because it really triggers a lot of lefties and journalists. They always like to point out that I'm Russian. Like, automatically, I'm guilty because I'm Russian, right?
It used to be, since the Cold War, Russians, but at least you're not a German, right? I mean, because that would really be bad.
Oh, that would be even worse. You know, speaking of Russians, it's funny. Yesterday I saw this news piece coming out, and you know how the left, they hate anchor baby, they love their anchor babies, and we're always talking about how awful it is, right? You know, millions of Chinese are coming in and Latinos. Well, there was a special done. I couldn't believe it. These leftists were against anchor babies, and you want to know why? There were Russian women coming over and having babies.
that explains it.
All of a sudden, they're like, wait a minute, you know, white women coming over and having white babies. But the difference is there was only like 100 women a year. And they're also, they were really rich. It was kind of just the novelty of having the American passport, you know.
That's funny. Man. Yeah. No, that doesn't surprise me, though, of course. And I'm sure it doesn't surprise you either. So, yes, you've got that. Well, you can remember she's of Russian-American ancestry. You can remember the clothing line, Radio 314 Red Ice. The middle will adjust and update for next time, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're on tonight. I got to say, Red Ice has done a whole lot for me. Henrik and Lana. Henrik was on last week. Glad Lana's on tonight. Ever since we first came to know each other in the spring of 2016, we've been, thick as thieves, having met up in person a few times. And, and of course, I've been on with y'all quite a few times on Red Ice, and I appreciate it. It's always a lot of
fun. One of our favorites, definitely.
Thank you for saying that. Well, I'm glad we have a woman on tonight. That's a rarity because I want to talk to you about a few issues, I guess, related to women, or at least issues that the media would have us believe are related to women. And certainly women are speaking up about it, so we'll get your take on it. The epidemic of sexual assault allegations coming out of Hollywood ever since the Kevin Spacey allegation and I think closely followed by Harvey Weinstein, it is just, I mean, everybody's raping everybody out there in Hollywood. Now, some of it may be believable because of the dynamic of the people who run Hollywood.
It is Hollywood, after all, yeah. Casting.
It is Hollywood, and maybe they're trying to take advantage of a few shiksas, but besides that... who knows what's going on? I mean, because now, of course, with the date rape phenomenon and you can have consensual sex and then 40 years later withdraw consent and then it becomes rape. Who knows?
But that's right. Definitions got that. Are changing. Yeah.
We've got that. Me too. Hashtag me too. Time's up. What do you make of all of it?
Yeah, I was just working on a video. It's going to be out tomorrow on this Me Too movement. So people don't know this, but it was actually started by a black woman, and she initially did it to bring attention to sexual abuse in her community. that means amongst black people, because it's rampant, like 60% of black women are abused or raped. I mean, this isn't really shocking because they have a problem with this in Africa too, right? Then this Me Too movement and this hashtag was picked up by some Hollywood celebrities after Harvey Weinstein, you know, and then many more men in Hollywood were implicated who almost entirely happened to be Jewish, okay? And we know that, you know, Jews do not identify as white, but now this whole Me Too is especially targeting and blaming white men. So it starts as something going after black men, it becomes, you know, targeting, it goes after Jewish men, and then it's like blaming white men. Even Larry David mentioned this pattern that we can't mention, right, of like, hey, this happens to be, what's going on here? Ooh, I just can't happen. I happen to notice that it happens to be mostly Jews, right? And he can say that. He gets away with it, but, you know, I'm an anti-Semite if I notice that pattern. But really, when it comes to Hollywood, you know, I lived there and worked there for a while when I was younger, and it's like, oh, no kidding. You guys are just now the world is realizing that Hollywood is full of slime balls and that there's a casting couch and that young girls will sleep with guys to get into movies. Like, people are acting like this is something new and shocking and newsworthy, you know? And the thing is, you know, some of these girls, they probably did some things they weren't proud of to get into the movies, right? So there's a little bit of shame of that. And they had all the opportunities in the world to come out and say something about these people. I mean, we have laws in place against sexual harassment and all these things. They could sue these guys, but they didn't do it because it would end their career, right? They would be blackballed in Hollywood. But now that it's socially acceptable, everyone is behind it, it's popular, you know, to come out and say, me too, you know, the sisterhood and the world embraces you, and maybe you're going to get even more movie parts, right? So I see two things. Okay, sure, Harvey Weinstein, yeah, he's a pig, and he did some disgusting things. I'm not shocked by that. But why didn't these girls say something sooner? They all knew it. They had plenty of opportunities to just get the hell out of there. So I think a lot of these women, it's possible revenge, because they actually did sleep with some of these guys, right? So they have some remorse. And then you have this other thing happening with the definitions being changed. Like, I saw Natalie Portman saying, oh, yes, when I was hearing what the definition of, you know, sexual violence is, I was really thinking and recalling my past, and I was really, really thinking there was like 100 situations in where she had experienced sexual violence. Okay, so definitions when it comes to white men or men who are perceived as white can be changed. You know, you could just ask a girl out or have remorse the next day, like you're saying, and say rape. But then when you look at non-white men, when you go to Europe now, where there's a rape epidemic and girls are literally being gang raped and the migrants are being let off because they happen to be not white, because it's Islamophobic or racist to point out that pattern, right? So, you know, that's something I really get into this video, how these women are, they're not crying for those women. They're not making a big, you know, loud ruckus and a hashtag standing for these women. I mean, Oprah, she went on, I don't know if you heard her speech, but she wins some big award, I don't know, some dumb award, I don't pay attention to these, and she kind of chimes in on this whole Me Too party, and what does she say? She goes back to 76 years ago, a black woman was raped by 6 white men, she says, right? On her way to church, just to go back that far, 76 years
ago. All right, hold on. Okay. Lana, hold on right there. Yeah, I think I saw that in A Time to Kill. But hold on right there. We're going to take a break. We're going to come right back. More with Lana Locked of Red Ice TV right after this.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, back with Lana Lochtiff of Red Ice. We are talking about, I guess in some way, women's issues, these sexual assault allegations. I am sure there have been some cases of molestation and even rape. When I think of rape, I think of a guy grabbing a woman by the neck and, well, raping her. And I think what we have probably most of all out here are women who probably didn't want to have sex with certain men, but they did so to further their career. And then now they have withdrawn the consent and regret it years later, and it, it's become a sexual assault. I think you look at this as a woman as incredulously as I look at it as a man. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I want to weave in what Oprah said, because this is just ridiculous.
You asked the question earlier. I can imagine it's as horrific as you're about to explain it to be. I must admit, I skipped the Oprah speech. When I heard that it breathed life into a hypothetical presidential run, I knew it had to be awful.
Yeah,
so tell us more about it.
This woman wants to run. Now, Oprah, let's just a little backstory here. She made a career getting rich off of white women, okay, in a system built by white men. She has literally said on record, you know, old white Southerners just have to die. She actually said it like that. They just have to die to end racism. She makes up these crazy shop girl stories, like that she went to Switzerland and some woman didn't want to show her purse because she was black. Turns out it was all BS, right? So she's black woman to win some dumb award. You know, Golden Globes is honoring her. And she brings up this rape story from 76 years ago where this black woman was raped by six white, she just emphasizes it, men going to church, you know, and how they were never prosecuted or something. She has to go back that far because that kind of rape doesn't happen today. And if it did, it would be world news and the guy would be given a long sentence, made an example of. And then she goes on to say, those men in power, trying to tie it into the same white men she was just talking about. Time is up to white men, right? Everyone stands up and they're applauding like a bunch of idiots. And I'm just sitting here thinking, yeah, because, you know, black men are Middle Eastern men in power is just going to be so empowering to women, right? That's why they just they always top the lists every year of the best countries to live in for women, right? Africa and the Middle East, right? I mean, come on. We all know it's white countries. It's white men who have given women's rights. Female empowerment only exists in white countries. You know, every time the best living standards for women, when they do those lists, is the white countries. We have laws in place to protect and elevate women. You can follow through and there's protection for you. We're not living in true rape cultures, right? But it seems like they really want to make white men the enemy. Just this constant focus on them. But she brings up this rape story, and I was thinking, okay, well, statistically, if you look at rape, black men in America rape the most. And it's also a fact that the largest category of rape in America is black on white, as you know. So statistically, it's non-white men doing all the raping in the world. It's not white men, like she was alluding to in her speech. I mean, you literally have non-white migrants in Europe, as you know, gang raping and live streaming it. But you can't actually point out the race or where these perps are from or see patterns or see how the rape rates are skyrocketing in Europe now because of, you know, the open border policy led in by feminists, by the way. And now you have governments like Sweden where it's 50% female politicians. They say they're a feminist government. They are literally covering up rapes. I detail my five recent stories.
Yeah, Lana, not to interrupt, but that's very interesting. You would touch on that because yes, in this era now of this, you know, everything, this Me Too fetish, this what do they call it? Time's Up, all of these allegations coming out of Hollywood. Where's the crocodile tears for all the women of Sweden who have been raped? All the women in the Christmas markets and the New Year's Eve celebrations in Germany. Well, I haven't heard anything. They haven't been brought into this.
No, because I've learned that feminism, obviously, it's not about women. Their first mission, their absolute first mission is anti-white male politics, open borders, multiculturalism, diversity, and they will sacrifice these women. In fact, when a woman does come out, they'll say, oh, that's just right-wing propaganda, or it's racist, or false rape. All of a sudden, they say false rape, or they say, oh, it's just a cultural misunderstanding that migrant needs to be taught better. Okay, well, Oprah, you're going to bring up a story of a gang rape where, you know, these guys weren't prosecuted, and I don't even know
if
this is
allegedly. Yeah, who knows if it was true? I'm sure it wasn't.
Exactly.
Probably wasn't.
How about this? There was a Swedish woman in a wheelchair who was gang raped by six non-white migrants for hours, and they were recently released. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Nothing happened. And I can tell you 5-10 more of those were literal gang rapes on CCTV, and judges are like, meh. You know, it's unclear if she wanted it. She can have her head bashed in on camera, raped by six men, and they're still like, meh. And then if you point out, hey, by the way, it's Iraqi, Afghanistan, sub-Saharan, you know, guys, Syrian guys, well, that's Islamophobic. That's racist. You know, and so now they're literally, they're playing all this trickery in Europe to cover up for these people. I mean, this is absurd. And I bring attention to these feminists and they'll say, well, what does their race matter? Because it would have been, you know, white guys that would have done it anyway. They actually say that when all of this could be prevented from, you know, deporting and closing the borders, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I want to ask you this very quickly. Actually, I want to go ahead and preemptively ask you this. We've had a few questions for you come in from our audience. I know we only have you scheduled for 30 minutes tonight. I know you've got family in town. Is there any way you could stay after the next break just for maybe 5 minutes on the backside so we could get these questions in? Because I promised I would work these questions in for you. But I want to ask you this very quickly. Since we're talking about feminism, and obviously this is related to the other topics we're talking about tonight, it was a year ago this week that I was at the presidential inauguration on the front row with Jared Taylor and Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby of this radio network. And then, of course, we did a Red Ice TV stream there for you as well from the inauguration. But what people may not remember is that the day after the inauguration, you had this grotesque feminist rally. I can't even remember what they called it, but a lot of them were staying at our hotel, and I saw them coming in. And let me tell you, they did not look like my wife. They did not look like you. What is it about feminism? It seems like all the adherents of feminism that I've ever seen in person in my life, and I've seen a lot of them, aren't aesthetically pleasing, and that's as nice as I can put it. What is it about that?
Well, I mean, it used to be understood that it was generally a lot of gay women too. You know, a lot of gay women that aren't very feminine. But it's a lot of bitter women who have made bad choices in their life, who haven't found a good man, who have some father issues, and it just makes them look ugly. You know, usually pretty women, generally pretty women, they find a good guy, they're taken care of, they like life, they're happy, you know. But these feminists, I mean, you find that they just are miserable, miserable people. And a lot of them are leftists. And as you know, a lot of leftists are just some of them are seriously mentally ill. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of here, that liberalism really is a mental disease, and it attracts all kinds of kooks and crazy people. And then there's a lot of them in feminism. I mean, there's just no reaching them.
I have talked with you quite a bit over the course of the last couple of years. I think this has been the most enjoyable conversation we've had. You have been on fire tonight. We have said that for years, by the way. I guess that's not an original thought. Nothing is new under the sun, of course. But yeah, liberalism is a mental disease. I mean, there is something wrong with people who would buy into this. If you don't believe it, look at them. Just look at them. I mean, there is something not right with these women that were there, and I'm not just picking on them. I mean, there's not anything right with the men who cuck and do all of these things that we also take issue with. But
And that's why we can hope that these women don't have children. You know, that would actually be a really good thing to just not spread their seed. You know, because something's wrong with it.
Yeah, you see, we're in the age of dysgenics now, where only the most incapable and the worst of society is encouraged to reproduce. So when we come back, well, there's the music. So what we're going to do, we're going to come back. Ilana has been gracious enough to extend us 5 more minutes of her time after the break. 3 quick questions, answer them, and then you'll be on your way. And I appreciate you doing that for us. And then we've got much more. We're only halfway through tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool. Nick Griffin, Lana Lochte. And then more to come on the second half of the show. Stay tuned.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, Lana is working overtime tonight. And Lana, I appreciate it. We have three questions that have come in that I promised, among the other questions that have come in. Three that have come in that I promised I would work in for you tonight. And but first, before we do that, plug all the websites. How can people learn more about your work, the work of Red Ice, all of that good stuff?
Head over to redice.tv. That's our public site where everything is available for everyone. And then, of course, redicemembers.com is where our members go, people who want to help support us, and you can have access to exclusive content. So those are the websites.
It's incredible content, too, ladies and gentlemen. I couldn't be more high on the work that Henrik and Lana do over there. Okay, here we go. What do you see is the role of women within the alt-right and other such organizations?
Oh, wow, that's a big one. I do talk about this a lot. Well, I think we have many roles these days. We have to wear many hats. I mean, I look at myself. You know, I work with my husband. I help facilitate things that he's doing. I also produce content, but I have a family. I run a house. I think that a lot of alt-right women that I know are kind of in a cool situation because they have their family, they have their husband, but then they can take extra time to do a little video or do a blog post. I think a lot of alt-right women are like that because we can't just sit by and be idle while our countries are destroyed and we worry about a future for our kids. I'd love to just do things around the house and hang out with the kids and play and not worry about it, but those are not the times that we live in. I also think it's important for women to be vocal to attract other women. I've been saying that for a long time, and since there's been a lot of women, a lot more women are coming in. We also can kind of soften the message and mainstream it a bit more. So I think that that's absolutely important. That's not women in politics. That's just kind of producing content, you know, doing YouTube channels and videos and interviews. I think that that's really important that women contribute that for the sake of other women and drawing more people in.
And by the way, some of the issues we've been talking about tonight, I believe you have a new video coming out tomorrow, and Patrick Casey was recently on to talk about Oprah, so all of that's been covered, and you can check that out at Red Ice as well.
Yeah.
Now, another question. When I listen to your show, I agree with much of what is said. I guess they're talking about Red Ice here. However, I feel that those of my age are sometimes blamed for where our country finds itself right now, and that Christianity is dismissed for making Europe what it was. As a Christian, as a boomer, and as a woman, do I have a place in the alt-right?
Of course. Look, I mean, when it comes to spirituality, white people, we've always been quite diverse. You know, I never judge people for their spirituality. Past is past. We can harp on it and have different ideas about that. But I want to move forward. And I think it's important for all of us to respect each other's spirituality and move forward as a people, as a family, as a, you know, on a mission to save our race, you know, to have a future for our children. So, no, I'm not going to sit here and blame all Christians, of course. You know, I have good friends that are Christians. My family is Christian. So that's not an issue with us at Red Ice. Second of all, boomers. I know boomers do get a lot of heat, but I know that, you know, my parents are boomers. We have a lot of members that are boomers. Not all boomers, right? But, I mean, they've also been targets of a lot of massive propaganda and brainwashing and experiments. I mean, my parents grew up in San Francisco in the hippie era, so I know that they have been victims of a lot, just like my generation. So, I mean, I don't want to sit and blame them, but I wish that some of them would fight hard, but that's why I want to do something different. Instead of complaining on those people, I want to be the mother that fights for the future of my children. And what was the third one that you said? women.
The third one, and you've touched on this. You've touched on this. Mother, family, homemaker. When this is actually the third question. When can we expect your family to grow again?
Oh well, it's another one this year. So.
Oh, is that a fact? Is that an announcement? Are we expecting?
Not yet, but it will be. You know, it's always been. Do we talk about it? Do we not talk about it? Just because of your family becomes a target. You know, we were victims of a hack or aggressive
breakdown.
So for a lot of safety reasons, I've chosen to be more private, but I kind of got to a point after the hack where it just got to such a low point that, I just told people. By the way,
you have the right not to answer that question as well. You could have said, well, private's private, but I appreciate being a good sport.
They're great. I think all of us should, three would be great if everyone had three. So, and I hear from someone too, where they're like, I'm 35. It's too. No, it's not too late. I'm in my 30s. But you can also freeze your eggs. So I encourage women. If you think you want more later, to freeze some eggs, so you have that option. Yeah.
Great answer. Great answer. Hey, Lana. Listen. I've talked to you a lot over the last couple of years. I don't know if I've ever enjoyed it as much as tonight. One question though. Big holiday coming up on Monday. How are you and Henrik celebrating Martin Luther King Day?
Are you shutting down
red ice? Are you giving everybody the day off that day?
Oh, that's funny. No, we should definitely do a video on how Martin Luther King was a communist supported by communists.
We do it every year. I promised myself I would avoid it this year, but now I don't think I can. I think we're gonna have to work it in. All right, hey, listen, love y'all, you and Henrik. You do the work that most Americans refuse to do. You're doing an incredible job. I couldn't be more high. RedIce.tv, support them, ladies and gentlemen. They deserve it. They've earned it. Very few people have earned it. They have. And enjoy the rest of the night with your family, and we will talk to you again soon.
Okay. Well, thank you, James. We appreciate it so much. We're big fans.
You're very welcome. Thank you for all your work. Bye-bye. Lana Lochtiff, everybody, of Red Ice, and you heard from her counterpart, her partner, her husband, Henrik, last week. Man, I could take a break now. Many hands make light work, don't they? But I tell you what, we are now in the sixth hour of the Political Cesspool's 2018 broadcasting year. No, we're not. We're in the fifth hour. Elementary math, that's a tough one. It'll be six after the end of tonight's show. We've done 5 hours of broadcasting so far in 2018. And we've had 10 guests on already. And I don't mean just we pick somebody up on the street corner. We have had 10 pretty phenomenal guests. And that includes, let's see if I can remember them in order last week. Well, I can't. I'll have to look it up. Who did we have last week? Come on, we had Kyle Bristow, Patrick Casey, Richard Spencer, Jared Taylor, Sam Dixon, Henrik Palmgren of Red Ice. We had, Lord have mercy! I can't believe I'm not getting this. I'm going to have to get this. You're going to have to bear with me now, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to have to bear with me until I go to our website and see who we had last week. I should know this. I do know this. I don't know why I can't recall it right now. It's just the pressure of the moment, I guess. All right, I'm at thepoliticalcesspool.org. All-star lineup helps us kick off 2018. Here we go. Richard Spencer, Kyle Bristow, Henrik Palmgren, Jared Taylor, followed by Dr. Michael Hill, Patrick Casey, Sam Dixon, and David Duke. Eight guests. Those were the eight guests of last week's show. And then tonight, Nick Griffin and Lana Lochtiff. Are you kidding me? How about that for your first 5 hours of broadcasting in the 2018 campaign of the Political Cesspool? And we're not done yet. I mean, we've got 50 more weeks to go after we end tonight. And coming up next week, more of the same. Dr. Kevin McDonald and Brother Nathaniel Kapner. I don't think we've ever had a three-week run that has had that many notable guests. We've been on the air 14 years now. This is our 14th year, not quite 14 years, obviously, until we get to October of this year. But we're in our 14th year now. I don't think there's ever been a three-week run where we've had that many guests who have of importance to our audience. Next week, Kevin McDonald and Nathaniel Kapner, brother Nathaniel. So that's I'm proud of it. I am proud of it. I am proud that the Political Cesspool can bring you guests like that. And weren't they great tonight? I tell you, I think the two tonight matched the eight of last week. And that's not to shorthand the eight that we had last week, because I love them all. I would fight with them all, but not with them, but for them, and with them against another opponent, of course. But I think that Nick Griffin in the first hour and Lana Loctiff in the second. Do we bring you the guests, or do we bring you the guests? I guess I should ask. And next week it continues with Kevin and Nathaniel. So it's a good start to 2018. And I tell you, I feel the pressure. I feel the pressure. 2016 and 2017 specifically were monumental years for the Political Cesspool. So I feel the pressure to when it comes to December of this year, when we have to do the top 10 moments of 2018. I feel the pressure to live up to what we the standard we've set over the course of the last couple of years. Specifically, I think we've done the best we can for the first 2 weeks of this year. What do you say, ladies and gentlemen? When we come back, Jack Ryan will be with us, and then Eddie the Bombardier Miller. So stay tuned.
To the Political Cesspool, right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2, one inning more to play. Then all 5,000 throats recoiled upon the flat for Casey. Mighty Casey was advancing to the bat. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped.
"That ain't my style,"
said Casey.
"Right what?"
the umpire said. She signaled to the pitcher. Once more the spheroid flew.
"I think I'll just ignore it."
And the umpire said,
"Right to."
Now, something different than we read about in the poem. Casey thought of Mom and Dad and time she spent at home. She relaxed, she smiled, her confidence, it grew, and above the roar of the crowd, she heard her dad shout,
"Follow through!"
Somewhere, men are laughing and children having fun. And tonight, there's joy in Mudville, for Mighty Casey hit a home run.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, "Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about?" Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Welcome back to get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around. I love it, bet your bottom dollar you lose the blues in Chicago, Chicago.
It's hard for me to even bring Jack Ryan on this segment when he brings music like that to the program. That's Chicago by Old Blue Eyes. Francis Albert Sinatra, Jack Ryan. I tell you, I asked earlier, where do you go after all those guests we had last week and then Nick Griffin and Lana Loctiff tonight? You go to Jack Ryan, of course. Where else can you go? But Jack Ryan, who has been now with us as a weekly contributor since November, and I look forward to his segments every week. Now, he has more to cover tonight than we could possibly get to, so let's get to it quickly. Song, sure. Book, and movie recommendations of the week. Jack, take it away.
Okay, the song was Frank Sinatra, Chicago. The book recommendation is Steve Saylor, Half-Blood Prince, which is about Barack Obama, where he came from, how he shot up from nowhere to be my Illinois state representative, my neighbor, my U.S. senator for about 6 months, and then president of the United States. And my movie recommendation is Breaking Away, a beautiful Midwestern romantic movie, late 70s, about some townies in Indiana, in Bloomington, Indiana, and one of the guys pretends he's an Italian bicycle racer, and they have conflicts with the rich kids from University of Indiana. And that's a beautiful movie, Breaking Away.
And folks, when we asked Jack to give you his book, music, and movie recommendations of the week, we don't just do it for fun. We do it because we want you to check them out and listen.
We want you to check them out, but if you don't read the whole book, get the cliff notes. Or if you don't read the whole movie, see the whole movie, watch the trailer, which is 3.5 minutes or something like that. We want you to read the whole book, see the whole movie, but of that, just watch the trailer so you don't, that can be done in about 4 minutes.
TPC, a champion of the humanities and of the arts, of course, at the end of the day. Okay, Jack. Hey, going back, of course, I've known you for many years. Your work on Occidental Descent is legendary, and you've been to our two most recent conferences in 2014 and 2017, respectively. And but when we first brought you on in your debut week as a regular contributor to TPC back in November, you gave a little bit of information about your background, and you mentioned being there in Chicago where Barack Obama rose from a nobody, a community organizer, to the president of the United States. And I said, there's got to be 1 week where we focus on that entirely, where we focus on that exclusively, and you tell us what you know, because he was actually your state representative. I mean, you were right there at ground zero from where he sprung up organically from the ground before any of the rest of us ever knew him. You knew him. And so it's been a few weeks since your initial appearance on the show as a regular contributor, but now I want to come back full circle and go back to that. So your theme of the week here, let me pull it up here on my iPad. Your theme tonight is Chicago, the inside scoop. Where in the world did Barack Obama come from? You can tell us.
Okay, well, I can start, but I can't give you the whole story in 13 minutes. We can start here, but these are secrets. I want our listeners to know that all of the hosts and guests on the political cesspool are good people. They're honest people, but we're not naive, and we've got street smarts. We've been in places, and so we know the kind of score. And I've been in a lot of places a lot of people think are just extremely rough. One of the places of influence is this neighborhood that I grew up in and moved back to. I'm just outside of it. It's Chicago, but it's a very specific neighborhood in Chicago that Barack Obama came from and then I lived through. It's the University of Chicago, South Side of Chicago, Hyde Park, Kenwood. It's a university community on the lakefront, beautiful, but it's surrounded, in my entire lifetime, it's been bordered on the largest all-black African-American community in North America. So Barack Obama, you read his story, his father was this African exchange student, that he was a polygamist. He had an affair with some liberal leftist white woman, knocked her up. They had some kind of sham marriage. It wasn't gone. But you can read about that. But Barack was raised, and then he went to college, and he went to Harvard Law School. He had this ambition to be a big political leader, like the first black African-American mayor of Chicago, Harold Washington, who also lived in this neighborhood, Hyde Park, Kenwood. So he came back to this neighborhood to make it as base of operation. He never lived in Chicago. He never grew up here, but he wanted to be this leader, community organizer. And he doesn't want to live in a ghetto. He wants to live in a nice place. So lots of people, they make this their base of operation. Obama was not the only guy that did this. Other people that did it are the Black Nation of Islam, Farrakhan, Elijah Muhammad's son. Muhammad Ali had a mansion here. So you want to live in a nice place, but you want to be close to the community to, you know, to be a spokesman. If you live out in some white suburb, you come in, you don't have that authenticity. With Barack, he came back. He ran for Congress, and he lost to an older Black Panther guy. And the rap was that he wasn't black enough. He wasn't authentic. He was outside of it. He's mixed race. So he made effort to make himself more of a man of the people. And that's why he got hooked up with this Reverend Jeremiah Wright, this pastor who did black liberation theology. And so the big guys in Obama's life that presented him, there's like four guys. Jeremiah Wright, this black liberation theology guy, Bill Ayers, the 60s leftist guy, and David Axelrod, University of Chicago leftist J, you know, promoter. And those guys packaged him as the like. And then I could tell you, but the main thing is that there was a U.S. Senate race where people fell out of sex scandals. If Mike Ditka, the coach of the Bears, had ran in that race, we never would have heard from Barack Obama again. But he won that election, and then things were manipulated. Boom, boom, he goes up, liberalism, then he becomes president of the United States. So that, in a nutshell, is kind of what happened. But it's this community. It's a place of influence, like Harvard and Yale, New Haven, Connecticut, Cambridge, Massachusetts, or Hollywood. They're places of influence, and that's where people, like leaders and movements, people come in there, and this is the neighborhood that I'm from, that I'm just out of.
That is an incredible introduction. I guess some people may have known some of that, perhaps not all of it, but that's why Jack Ryan is a weekly contributor to TBC, because he brings something that nobody else in our all-star stable of talent can. Now, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Jack, who you'll remember from our events, is with us for the third hour tonight, and he came into the studio just a few minutes ago. He's been listening to your fascinated, in fact, he says, by your commentary just then. He wants to ask you a very, very quick question. Go, Eddie.
Well, hello there, Jack. It was great to see you at our family reunion. I don't call it anything else. I consider the people there blood kin, as you well know if you listen to me talk. Listen, you brought up a character that just makes my blood boil. You mentioned it, Bill Ayers. I don't know if a lot of people know this or not, but Bill Ayers was why he's not in prison or on death row, I'll never know. You know, he was linked to the Weathermen and with Bernadette Dorn, I believe, and they killed
Dorn,
police.
Yeah. Abby Hoffman.
And they admitted it.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, is he still
people in American history? Yeah.
Now, do you think they did you say I couldn't hear very well when we were going? Did they help Barack Obama get where he was? That's my first question. Second question: Barack Obama lived right down the street from a Jewish synagogue. And Jewish people helped him get in where he was. And so, which leads to my next question. If he's so anti-Jewish, if he's so pro-Islam, why are the Jews crazy about him? Those are my two questions.
I don't admit that at all. I don't think he's anti-Jewish. And yes, it is. This neighborhood that I grew up in, it was at one time the largest, most affluent Jewish community in the United States that they had. When I grew up, it was pretty Jewish, but even if it's pretty Jewish, it's not 50% Jewish. It's maybe like 20% or something like that. Yes, he lives around the corner. So one of the guys that made him, the main Jewish guy that promoted him is David Axelrod, who is he's the political consultant, and they're like fight promoters. They promote guys, and then that the way to do is the religion of liberalism, like Robert F. Kennedy liberalism. is it's like a religion. It appeals to a lot of people that you're going to reach out and unite all the people and help the poor people, help the races. And so the main guy that did that is David Axelrod. So he would present Barack Obama as this figure like David Dinkins in New York City that would help to improve race relations. And Barack Obama is an intelligent person. He's not like Marion Barry in Washington, D.C. He's well-dressed. He's a good public speaker. He is a good husband to his wife and a good father to his children. So he appeals to a lot of people. And that's when it came out that he was tied in with this crazy black liberation theology cult. It sort of almost pulled, deflated the whole thing that he was with this maniac guy, and that came out. But they sort of fixed it up. So I think the main people that promoted him, got him elected state representative, Senator Axelrod, and Wright. Bill Ayers did I think ghostwrite his autobiography, but he was a neighbor of him. So these people of influence. These are my neighbors. These are the guys that I dealt with when I was a little boy.
Who would have thought?
I'm Minnesota.
Who would have thought that a political cesspool weekly contributor would be the neighbor of these people? But there he is, Jack Ryan, everybody. We may have a part two on this next week, but I'll tell you what. Eddie says he hopes so. Jack Ryan's segment is Jack Ryan's segment. He has a dedicated segment every week, and we're better for it. And he tells me what he's going to talk about in that segment. We'll be back right after this with the third hour. Thank you, Jack.